It's already 76 degrees in here, heading towards 85. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? What are you people doing here? This is the dog days of heaven. Yeah. I'm heaven-minded of summer. You're supposed to be on vacation. What you doing here? Same as me, huh? Okay, all right. Ladies, Bible study sign-ups begin today. And that announcement means summer's coming to an end. I hate that announcement. Yes, but I love my wife. And when I do what she wants, things go better for me. Why are you laughing? My mother and father-in-law are here. That's just the beginning. There's no telling what's coming out later. But, well, today's theme, let's just jump into things since we sang an extra song and I shared 5 minutes of my time. Because I'm kind. The theme is two guys run into a stranger. Not a strange thing. It's pretty normal. Happens all the time, actually. Two guys, you know, like when you were young, you used to go to Mammoth or wherever you skied, and you came up, you said single with a smile on your face, right? A little different, but you know what I'm saying. A nurse on the pediatric ward, that's always a hard place. It takes a special person to work there, and we love them so. She was on the pediatric ward before listening to the little one's heartbeats. This was a habit that she had. She would plug the stethoscope into their ears and let them listen to their own hearts and hear that bump, 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 bump. You always hope that was there. Their eyes would always light up with awe, but she never got a response to equal four-year-old David's comment. She tucked the stethoscope. You try saying that three times real quick early in the morning. Gently into his ears and placed the disc over his heart. Listen, she said, what do you suppose that is? Just a sweet lady. He drew his eyebrows together in a puzzled line and looked up as if he had lost the mystery of the strange tap, 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 tap deep in his chest. Then his face broke out in a wondrous grin. And he asked, is that Jesus knocking? Is that? Oh, the sweetness of kids. You guys, you didn't go, ah, that was all the girls. Didn't touch your heart deeply. But I'm coming after you today. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that we can be here together and celebrate you this day in the middle of August. And I pray that you would touch our hearts through this story. As these lives get changed, make changes in us as we witness it in the Bible today. Jesus, we welcome you into this room and into our lives, into our families. We want you to lead us, guide us. We want to submit our lives to us in any and every way we can. So I pray you'd help every one of us in this room to see you for who you are. Jesus, I pray that you would show up in each of our lives today, that we not only would sense your presence, but you would touch that inside part of our life like only you can do. So take us now, touch us now. By your Spirit, teach us truth. Lock us in even more so to the beauty of what's coming in every one of our lives that follow you and love you. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus, and we're working our way through his life step by step, event by event. And we're looking at not only what he said and what he did, certainly, but how people responded to him. And that's what this story's all about, really, today. It's about truth, like always, but it's also about how two fellas respond to Jesus, not knowing who he is, but over the course of time, it gets figured out. And our hope is that certainly you'll learn facts about him, but you won't just do that. Certainly you'll learn the Bible, but you won't just do that. Something internally will begin to happen. You'll begin to make decisions that are beneficial to you, to him, to the kingdom. And those things are is that you'll desire to be close to him, that you'll build that want-to factor on the inside of us that you have full control over. Nobody else does. They may think they do, but they don't. That you somehow will be captured by the Jesus message, which is the most important thing you can ever learn, understand, and connect to in your life. And that will never change. You can't come up with something that's more important than that for your life and your influence. All of us want to influence other people. And it's not about being famous or being a great teacher of many, but it's about just impact. We want to touch the lives of others. It's built into us. It starts with our kids. We love them so. And one day we have to let them go. And most of that is not fun. Once they get gone and they're okay, then it gets fun. Just preparing you non-empty nesters, all right? Well, we're in the summer of resurrection. Now, most smart pastors that are wise wouldn't teach about the resurrection during the summer because it's powerful stuff. It's life-altering stuff. Most of them would wait till the fall when the church really can grow and take off and school's back and people are back. But not us here. We're not going to be wise summer of resurrection. So far, what we've seen is Mary Magdalena and Salome have seen the empty tomb, right? Early this morning at dawn. And a couple of angels and cool stuff. We saw that Peter and John, after they reported to him, ran to the tomb, and that John was much quicker in terms of Olympic athletes than Peter was, and he got there first. But he was a wimp and didn't go in until Peter got there. But that's another story. Then we saw Mary Magdalena was not going to be deterred from finding Jesus. She went back alone. Most women didn't travel alone then, by the way, because there were dangers lurking out there. She didn't care. It wasn't about her, Richard. It was about Jesus. And she was on her way. And because she was so committed and because she was so in love with Jesus and torqued at the same time and angry that she didn't know where his body had been taken, put, what was going on, she went back and was going to fix things. Are you a fixer in life? Are you determined? Are you going to correct what's wrong? Well, Mary was determined in a beautiful way. She goes back and she ends up seeing Jesus. She ends up touching, hugging his legs. She was the first human being to see the resurrected Jesus. And then some other ladies, we don't know their names, doesn't matter. But they saw Jesus and they touched him. And powerful stuff. Today, finally, we get some guys involved. Yay. Some men join the ranks. There's room for us as well with Jesus. And I just want everybody to know that if you were questioning that. So I want to start with a question as we begin that you can ponder in your brain now and throughout the message, if you will. How has Jesus changed your life? I want you to think through that right now. If we were having a cup of coffee at Starbucks, which you would not want me to have a third cup of coffee right now. And I asked you, how has Jesus changed your life? And you're talking to the pastor. He's just Jim. But you're talking to me and you want to sound, you want to have a good answer. What are you going to tell me? How has he changed your life? How has he changed your life? Most of you would say, well, I'm going to heaven. I don't think I was going to heaven before, if you get the gospel. Some of you would say, my life has just been altered. I used to do this, and I don't do this anymore. I do more of that, whatever this and that is. I'm not defining it, okay? But how has Jesus changed your life? And I ask you that on the front end of this message, bless you, because we're going to see two guys who have their life changed by Jesus today. That's the message. Matter of fact, that is so much the message. We could just pray and go home right now and get outside where the South Bay breeze is happening. You want me to continue on? Okay. All right. Two guys going down the road. Number one, I know it's three pages. Relax. We're going to fly through it. I know you. I wondered why you were so subdued this morning. I just realized there's three pages. And I just bear with me. Number one, two unknown disciples are on the road. They're on the road. Two guys bebopping along down their highway of the day, minding their own business, doing their own thing. Actually, we find out later in the text that one of them is named Cleopas, and we're going to just shorten him to Cleo. We're going to leave the P-A-S off, all right? Cleo for us today. Luke 24:13. Now that same day, what day? Well, Sunday. Sunday. It's been a long day. Later in the day, as evening is approaching, again, as we'll see later, two of them, so we got two guys, two disciples that were part of the larger group that were following Jesus at the time, and maybe for years, we don't know the timing. They were not part of the 12, but these are two of disciples. There might have been upwards of 70, 90 of them, and some gals, we don't know the number, but there's quite a following that Jesus had that just left their nets as well. They weren't the 12, but they were followers of him, just in a sense like we are today. But he was there present back then. So there's two of them. They were going to a village called Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is the only time in the Bible Emmaus is talked about. Not a big deal. It's a postage stamp, all right? We don't even know exactly where Emmaus was, except that it was 7 miles from Jerusalem because of what it says next. About 7 miles from Jerusalem. No big deal. See, you didn't know how I knew that. Now you do. So it wasn't far away from where all this stuff was happening. Okay? They're on the road to Emmaus. Not far from Jerusalem. Two guys headed down the road to give us context of where we're heading, literally. Number two, these two guys meet a guy. Now, we're just narrating through the passage. If you're new with us and you're wondering, what the heck is this guy doing? Just stick with us. You'll be fine. Two guys meet a guy, and it's Jesus incognito. And I'm not letting you in on any secrets. They don't know that, but we can know that. We're not messing up the story by telling or talking about that fact. So nothing spectacular here yet, except two guys meet a guy on the road. A stranger joins them. He joins them out of nowhere, which is kind of interesting. Luke 24:14, they were talking with each other back and forth, two guys, about everything that had happened. So they're talking about the events of the day, the last 3 days, the last week, what was going on. Pretty big news had happened, especially for people who were followers of Jesus at the time. This was devastating for them. They didn't know what to do. Verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, talking back and forth, as two guys driving or walking down the street would be doing, I don't know what they were saying, but what's your take on things, Steve? I don't know, Cleo. I'm not sure what to make of it. I can't believe Jesus isn't here anymore. I can't believe they killed him the way they did. I don't know, they're talking about the events of the day. Why did those chief priests do what they did? What's the deal? They're trying to understand. That's what we do oftentimes when we discuss. We inform each other. We try to make conclusions. And look what the Bible says in verse 15. Jesus himself, the Jesus, this guy that I called the incognito before, came up and walked among them, along with them. So he joined the group to make it a group of three, right? Two guys going down the road to Emmaus. Now we have three guys going down the road to Emmaus. Verse 16 tells us, informs us, but they were kept, held back from recognizing him. In some miraculous way, I don't know what happened, and you're not going to know what happened, but God can do whatever he wants. They didn't recognize him. As Mary didn't recognize him earlier, and she was absolutely in love with him in a beautiful and a worshipful way, thinking he was the gardener earlier, remember? Apparently, in his resurrected form, he looked normal, like any other man. So we have three amigos. The Bible doesn't say that. But we have three amigos walking and talking. Number three. See, I told you we're going to move through this quick. At least I think we'll continue to. If you start listening too hard, though, I may slow down, so be careful. Jesus asked these sad guys a question. Sad guys. Now, every good teacher, if he's good at all on any level, he asks questions. And the reason why he asks questions is to get you to think and to ponder things. In other words, he just doesn't want to play pitch and catch, where I'm the pitcher and you're the catcher, so boom, you catch. It's not about that. A good teacher wants you to think, wants you to ponder things. And questions do that. They encourage us to learn. Questions are beautiful on lots of levels. Luke 24:17, he asked them, so Jesus here poses a question to the two fellas. What are you discussing together as you're walking along? Fair question. Question of interest. What's on your mind? What are you guys dealing with in your life? Right here, right now. Now, y'all understand this is Jesus. And he knows exactly what they're talking about. You get that, right? Jesus, God, knows everything. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He knows everything. He wanted relationship with them. He wanted relationship with them. He's not trying to be a know-it-all. But the sad thing is Jesus is a know-it-all. I mean, a real one. I know some of you think you're... I'm going to pass on that. He created everything. He knows everything. But he says, hey, what are you guys talking about? The Bible says, and this is where there's so much humor in the Bible. They stood still. Now, these guys are walking along the road talking. And I don't know whether it's Cleo or the other unnamed fella, but he stops and he looks at Jesus. And I think there was a little bit of disgust going on. And really shock here. And the Bible says their face is downcast. And this is why I say they're sad, because of what they're talking about. This is their Jesus that they loved and had followed, walked with, saw incredible things with. They're traumatized. Depression had probably slipped in. Not a surprise to them. But Cleo looks at him, it says in verse 18, one of them named Cleopas asked him and stopped as they're walking. I'm sure he had kind of a frown or a look of disgust on his face. And look what he says. Are you the only one in all of Jerusalem during the Passover where hundreds of thousands of people migrated for Passover? Are you the only one who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days? Are you kidding me? Dude, are you clueless? Don't you know what happened? Everybody knows what happened. Everybody. That's what's happening here. Now, before we move on, you know, I always take this opportunity, and I always will. And I frankly don't think it's very effective, but I'm going to try again because it's so important to me. I want you to think with me. Why did Jesus ask these guys this question when he already knew the answer? And the reason why he asked it is because he wanted relationship with them. Questions promote relationship. Questions create interest. Questions give us room to listen. And if people aren't listened to, they aren't valued. Some people just talk and talk and talk, and they don't ask questions. And I am coming at you today because I love you. Now listen, folks, especially if you don't have the friends you want. If you don't have close relationships where you can be intimate with, I'm not just talking about a marriage, but I'm talking about close buddies in life, girlfriends to girlfriends. If you're starved relationally and you know it, without questions, very little relationship happens, very little, surface. Inch deep at the most. Nothing significant when there are no questions. Very little value gets given to anybody else when there are no questions. Very little. And the challenge I want to give you today is I want to ask you if you'll do an honest survey of yourself. Not now. We got too much work to do the next 20 minutes or so. Should be 25, but it's 20. I'm teasing. I love the last song, Music Team. I loved it. It's a little long, but I loved it. Oh, my. I'm not looking at the crowd or my wife or anybody. I'm just looking at my notes. I don't need to see my notes, but I'm just looking at them, checking them out. Three questions. Number one. When do I ask others questions? Me. When do I ask questions? Now, you may think you do, but if you write down and get honest, and do an inventory of your life and say, when do I ask questions? You may be shocked that what you do is you talk and you don't ask questions. Inventory question number two. What are the questions? This is the benefit of having a C student as a pastor, because this is so simple. Anybody can do it. This could be C minus questions. Okay, what are the questions? Write them out. Think back the last week. The people you love, your mate first and foremost. What are the questions I've asked my mate this week? And I think a lot of you would be shocked if you looked at it. There are starving people out there that just want to be asked a question that matters. And number three, this is a little bit more subjective. Do others enjoy my questions? I'm serious about this. Because you got to ask the question, are my questions, if they're even asked, are they confronting? Are they questions that are interested in them? That's what we all long for somebody to ask a question. I was at the commander, Colonel Goldstein, retired, United States Air Force, 6 months ago or so. I was at his 50th birthday party last Saturday with Rick and Kirsten. And these two, three couples that are their best friends I'd never met before, we're sitting around and I'm asking them questions and thinking, this is going to go on all night, because it usually does. I'm good at asking questions. And I'm asking them this and I'm asking them that, and they're all simple and valuing, and where did you grow up and what high school did you go to? It's real easy stuff to value other people with questions. And then all of a sudden, one of Jewel's best friends, I don't remember her name, but she looked at me with a table full of people, and Rick is sitting over here on a little couch watching me, seeing how I was doing. And one of them said, Jim, I was almost stunned that somebody actually asked me a question. Jim, what's the hardest thing of being a pastor of a church? And my heart started beating. Seriously. Because it doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. And I wasn't very good at my answer. I was so stunned for so long. But I told her two things. They were simple things. And you know, I told Charlie, my best friend, one of my very best friends in life, this morning what I was doing. He goes, are you ready? I go, I'm ready, dude. I am so ready. You're fired up? I said, I'm fired up. I said, I'm going to talk for about 5 minutes about asking questions. And him and I are two of the best question askers on the planet with each other. And it's so funny. We fight. We fight over who asks the best questions. I'm not kidding. And it's so fun. He's so interested in me and every one of my kids. And I'm so interested in him and every one of his kids. I could tell you stories about every one of his kids. There's very few of my friends that can tell you long stories about each of my kids. Some of them may not even know some of their names because they aren't interested. Charlie is. So, is this too much? Okay. So he said this to me. I wrote it down. I'm a little afraid to tell you, because I'm trying to sell you. I'm trying to change you and your future and the people that are close to you right now. I'm trying to make you better question askers. You don't have to be an all-star. You don't have to be the MVP of question asking. But if you can upgrade it a little bit, you change and rock your world. Charlie said this, exactly. He says, unfortunately, Jim, people don't ask questions because they just don't care. And you know what? It's the truth. And it's brutal. For some reason, some of us have grown up in a life where we just don't care about the other people. We care the way we know how to care. But when you care about somebody, you want to know. You want to understand. You want to live through things with them that hurt, that suck. You can't do it with everybody. But you want to change your world. You want to change your parenting. Make a list of questions with your favorite kid in mind. You're thinking, do you have a favorite kid? Well, of course you do. I'm not going to tell you who, or especially with a microphone on. And just ask them those five questions. Oh, let's get back to the Jesus message. You're going to love this next one, point four. Ready? Jesus asked them a second question. Oh, yes. Did you get that, Karen? Ask them a second question, number two. I set you up for that, by the way. Here we go again. So he goes in with a second one, a follow-up question, if you will. Please learn the art of asking questions. You want to be a better wife. You want to be a better husband. You want to be a better parent. And when I say questions, especially with the parenting thing, do not interrogate them. Don't find a bright white light and put it behind your head, okay? These are loving, caring questions, all right? You're not a detective, all right? Moms, you already got that thing working. But verse 19, here's his question, two words. What things? That's it. The questions don't have to be deep. But when you see what this question opens up for them and for us today, it is mind-blowing. Jesus is inferring here he has no clue, huh? I don't know, did Jesus have that look on his face? What things? Now, this is so comical. It's so funny because this is the guy that lived through it all. The what things? This is the guy that they're talking about. This is Jesus, incognito, but this is Jesus. He lived through every second of it. Come on, you gotta love that. He asked, so Jesus asked him, what things? Questions can be simple. They can just get people talking so you're not doing all the talking. As a matter of fact, I should get a stopwatch for every one of you. And no, that's too much. Questions can stir thoughts in us and others. They can end up changing how we think if they're put out there. Number five. So based on their question, his question, they tell the story of the last few days. These two guys respond to his question, fill him in on their discussions. He asked, so we're going to tell him, this clueless fella that joined us on this walk. Let's give him the whole story, right? Verse 19. Duh. I mean, it doesn't say that, but that's what they're thinking. It's about Jesus of Nazareth. That they're telling Jesus, you got to love this. This is funny. They're telling Jesus, it's about this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. You must be the only one that doesn't know the story, they replied. So they means not only Cleo jumped in, but the other unnamed fellow as well. He, Jesus, was a prophet, which means he was a spokesperson for God, which was true. But he was just a bit more than that, as we know. He was a prophet, powerful in word. He spoke like no man ever spoke. And indeed, these guys say, he performed many miracles that had no explanation. It was way beyond David Copperfield magic. It was big. They say, and he did all this before God and all the people. What's the significance there? Well, all this happened in front of people. It's undeniable. It's history. It's in the books. Can't hide it. That's why we're talking about him today. Verse 20. At the same time all this was taking place, as they tell this story, and we love story, people. The chief priests and our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Our religious leaders did this horrible deed. None of us can believe it. It makes no sense. Jesus did good. He gave love. They didn't like this guy. They're jealous. Verse 21, but we, us, what does that mean? The two of us and others that have been following this man, Jesus, had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now, this is the most important line in this whole story. This is what they believed. Even those that followed him, they didn't listen to him. And this can happen to us in this room. We cannot listen to him at times because we often want to hear what we want to hear, not what he says. We thought he might be the Messiah. It all looked good. And we thought he might conquer Rome because that's what we want. We hated Rome. They were abusive to us. And we thought he'd fix everything. He didn't. He died. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And we remember he said something about the third day, and it's evening now. And we've lost hope that we had before. Something good was going to happen. Verse 22. In addition, so they go on with the story. You know, Act 2 here. Are you getting this? Are you with me here? Okay. I know it's hot. Just wave if you need to leave. And if enough of you wave, I'll pray. I'll pray. But it's got to be enough of you. I cracked myself up. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Mary Magdalene, Elena, and Salome. They went to the tomb early this morning. Remember this story? At sunrise? They didn't find his body. The tomb was empty. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels. Two of them, and one of them said he was sitting on the rock that was moved. And there was an earthquake and all this stuff, they said. And these angels said he was alive. This happened this morning, they're telling the stranger on the road to Emmaus. Verse 24, then some of our companions went to the tomb. Who could this be? Well, Peter and John, speedy John and slow, brave Peter, right? And found it just as the women had said. There was no body there. They looked all over. They did not see Jesus. There was no Jesus to be found. How cool would it have been if Jesus would have been there? How cool, they're thinking. So this stranger is now up to speed. The stranger. The guys have told him their version of what had happened. Now, number 6, Jesus sheds light on what's happening. This is Jesus not just teaching them but us today. Please, listen. By what they've said, by their conclusion and conclusions, they show they're not believing. These two guys didn't get it. You see, they wanted Jesus to be different than he was. They wanted Jesus to take over and fix things. They ultimately didn't want Jesus to be who he was. They wanted him to be different. And that could be a problem in some of your minds and hearts. That you don't want the Jesus you get, you want the Jesus you could create. That when you touch things, they heal. That people don't die. That your life is more blessed. That's not the Jesus that's available to you. Bless you. Luke 24, 25. He, Jesus, said to them, how foolish you are. Now, the term for foolish here could be translated dumb or stupid. So this is Jesus looking at them and saying, are you stupid? Oh, that's tough for you to think about Jesus using the S word. The stupid word was against the law in our home till everybody was 18. And once they got there, then stop being stupid. Sorry. And look what he goes on to say. Not just are you stupid, but and how slow to believe. You're failing here, fellas. Jesus becomes the teacher here, obviously. How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Why are you so slow? Have you guys even listened to what the prophets have said? Don't you too believe the writings of the prophets? Verse 26, he's questioning their understanding here again. He says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? This is a third question. I couldn't hammer you anymore on questions. I knew I had to let up. But this is another question. It continues. Jesus asks questions over and over again. Please learn. Guys, the prophets teach about the suffering of the Messiah as being necessary. People often don't hear what they don't want to hear. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The suffering Messiah is everywhere in the book that you love, people. Moses taught this clearly. Where did Moses teach this? Well, Moses presents the Passover lamb. And that pictures Messiah as the final sacrifice that would cause our sins to pass over us. Moses presents manna from heaven daily. You can't collect it for tomorrow and next week. It's just for today. Otherwise, it gets rotten and isn't consumable. And this pictures Messiah as the true bread from heaven. Prophets wrote about the Messiah being hanged on a tree, about him being cursed by God, about him being taken down off the tree at sunset, at him being hated without a cause. It's all over the Old Testament. So Jesus goes after these two fellows a bit. He tells them the truth. He tells them what's important. He tells them what they need to understand. It's beautiful what he presents to them. Number 7 for today. Jesus is moving on past these three guys. So they're getting close to Emmaus. They're in the middle of this great discussion. It's a little testy, of course. Maybe the two guys felt a little challenged by Jesus, by the discussion at this point. Things have been ratcheted up a little bit, and they're wondering, are we stupid? Because he's speaking truth. It's not stuff they didn't know. They just didn't recognize it, obviously. Look at Luke 24:28. As they, the three of them, the three amigos, Cleo and the unnamed disciple or follower and Jesus incognito, approached the village, coming into town to which they were going, so it was Emmaus, their destination, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. No goodbyes here, but Jesus appeared to be moving on down the road. Now, Jesus did this in the same way that earlier he had asked the questions. He knew the answers, but he wanted to engage in relationships, so he asked the questions. Here, the same thing. He knew he was going to their home. He's Jesus. He's aware of what's coming. But he wanted to see their response. It's like a test. Would they be hospitable? Had they really been followers of Jesus? Had they been listening to him? Would they follow God's way? Or would they let this stranger just continue on down the road? Jesus wanted to see their heart. What Jesus wants to see in you more than anything is your heart, every day, all day. Not to bust your chops, not to spank your bottom, but hoping to see a beautiful representation of who Jesus is inside of you. Number eight. What they did, they welcomed Jesus into their home. Jesus was seemingly moving down the road, and the guys react to him. They make a decision between them. I don't know how this happened, but something had to happen. Look at what the Bible says, Luke 24:29. But they urged him, Jesus, the two fellows, strongly. And the word translated there could be with force. So they were firm and direct as they could be to this stranger. I don't know if they grabbed his arm. I don't know. But there's an idea that there was great pressure put on Jesus. And they said, stay with us. Come on, hang out at our house. Spend the night with us. For it's nearly evening. It's late in the day. It's dusk right now. The day is almost over. It's about to get dark, and traveling at night is dangerous. You know that, stranger. So he went to stay with them. Jesus responds to their hospitality and goes with them. This is a pretty big deal here, and I want to highlight it certainly today. They welcome Jesus into their home. That's what they did here. Remember, this is a stranger to them. Now, it's a stranger that in conversation, they learned he was really smart. And he was a guy who asked questions and was interested in them. That he had strong opinions about the Messiah. Maybe knew some stuff they didn't know. And number 9, they experienced the dinner of a lifetime. In the midst of welcoming him and of washing up, getting ready for dinner. At this point, it seems they sat at the table. It's not described, but that's where it seems the setting happened. In verse 30 in Luke 24, very interesting what happens here. It's not completely explainable, but it's interesting. When he, Jesus, was at the table with them, apparently they were focused on listening to him. It's very interesting. When you get a really smart guy and you start asking him questions and everybody just sits and listens to what he says, it's really cool. Stuff's happening. And that it seems that that's what's going on. They were focused on listening to him. Traditionally, what would happen is the host would start the dinner by breaking bread, whoever's house you were at. I remember I had an Italian dinner with an old friend. I went back for a family reunion. I don't know why I did this, but it's really fun. A lot of people just live on the same block. They may go to work and come home. And East Coast is different. We're in New York, and it was an Italian meal, and there's this big bowl of pasta. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Big bowl of pasta in front of the man. A big bowl. Big guy, big bowl. And there was one little scooper for the pasta. And when you wanted a little more pasta, you didn't reach for that bowl. You might lose your hand, mafia style, you felt like. There was an air conditioner right behind me. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. When you wanted more, you said, you want a little more? A little more? You handed your plate, and the dad went in with a scooper. Get a little more pasta. A little more? It was serious. Right, Bob Lucchese? It's serious. That was tradition. Well, that's the tradition here, all right? He, Jesus, took the bread, gave thanks, prayed in this guy's house for provision of it, and he broke it, tore it apart, and began to give it to him, handed it to the men, two guys. So Jesus took the loaf of bread, prayed, broke the bread, started handing it to the guys, and something miraculous happened at that moment. Look at number 10 and last. See, we got here. Told you we would. We're a little late, but yeah, it'll be okay. Jesus opens their eyes to see him. Something stunning takes place here. Jesus showed up at this dinner. This is what you want. Not the exact same thing. It's not going to happen to you. It's a different time, different place. Jesus ascended into heaven already. But he showed up. And I just wonder what was going on in their brains and emotions as they experienced this. Look at it, verse 31. Then, at that moment he broke the bread, bam! They knew. They looked across the table and they realized. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. They saw Jesus for the first time. They'd been with him for hours, maybe. 7 miles? Quite a ways. I don't know where he joined them. Nobody recognized Jesus at this point unless it was revealed to him. And he disappeared from their sight. Bam, bam! That's what happened. Vanished. Poof! Now you see him, now you don't. Gone. We're going to see more of this in the future. And the two of them are there alone. Verse 32, they asked each other, dude, what just happened? There has to be more than is listed here. But they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Something was so different about this guy, and we knew it before we realized it was him. While he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us, something was happening. And sometimes you feel that, not on this level, but in this very room. There's moments, there's God moments, that something happens to you, and not maybe to all of you, but something, if you give your heart to Jesus, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. He's here, and I can't control it. We're just talking truth. But somehow, if you're open to him and wanting him, something can happen in this very room. They're saying that kind of thing was happening. Jesus was present. So these guys have been changed forever. God's word can be so powerful in our lives, just as it was back here. They saw and experienced Jesus firsthand. So what do we learn? We're going to sort of do this really quick. Number one, Jesus asked questions. How about you? Will you be like Jesus and understand that questions add to relationships, that questions make relationships possible, that allows us to value other people more than any other thing you can do? Don't buy gifts. Ask questions. Forget the gifts. Ask questions the rest of your life. Write them on your hand when you go out on a date if you have to. Please, please ask questions. Ladies, if you ask your man some questions that cause him to think, don't ask him stumping questions that are going to stump him. Don't use big words, all right? But you can, don't tell him I'm telling you this either. But you can make him so much more valuable in his own brain when you ask him questions. And guys, when you... Yeah, I'm not going to... We're just going to move on from that. Ask the three questions, please, of yourself and write down the answers. When do I ask others questions? What are the questions? And do others enjoy my questions? Or am I an interrogator? If you've got interrogating questions, find another guy. Don't ask me. Really. Number two, you can know the story and not know Jesus. A little scary here. I hope that's nobody in this room. But these two guys, Cleo and his bud, knew the story about Jesus pretty well. They retold it pretty well. But they'd not believed in him or trusted in him. Knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus, loving Jesus is where you want to be. And if you're not there, admit it to yourself and get there. Number three, will you please, 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 please welcome Jesus into your life? These two guys welcomed Jesus into theirs. Home to have dinner with them. Don't let Jesus pass you by, because he can. He has. I've seen it happen to people before. And it's so profoundly sad. When the Jesus message comes at you, take it in. Listen to it. Think, there it is again. There it is again. There it is again. Different person, different place, different time. It's the greatest news you'll ever hear. Listen to me. Stop being intrigued by the world and what it offers. It so fascinates us in so many ways. Stop being intrigued by you and your wishes and your dreams. I hope your dreams come true. Can I tell you the truth? Most of them aren't going to come true. So sorry if you're young. What a horrible old man. But it's true. That wasn't in my notes. Here's the truth, though. Selfishness rules most of our hearts. It's how we're built. It's who we are. I don't care who you are. You can love Jesus, and selfishness just is warring on the inside. It wars with us. Let Jesus rule your heart. Start by getting down the Jesus message. What is it? What is it about? What does it bring? What does it produce? Where you understand it's all about him all the time and always will be. Where your love for Jesus is the most important piece or part of your life. And I want you to believe that. I want you to buy into that. And you'll only do it because somehow you've opened yourself up to him and he's revealed himself to you. Otherwise, you're all about you. That's what happens. So, this week, I got an assignment other than the three questions. And you're going to turn that in next week with your name, right? Okay? Three questions. I want you to say out loud 20 times this week. Not right now, but this week. I don't care how cool you are, by the way. Jesus, I need you. 20 times minimum. In your car alone, you can be cool, or in your room at night. In the middle of the night. If you don't do it out loud, I will ask Jesus to wake you up in the middle of the night till you do it. Jesus, I need you. Then 20 more times. Ready? You can remember this. Don't have to write it down. Jesus, I love you. I want 20 times, not five. I went over the top. And we're going to end with some questions because I thought it was appropriate. You ready for a bunch of questions? You sure you're ready? Questions make you think. Watch this, and then I'll pray. Thank you. lots of questions. Let's pray, huh? Lord, thank you for time together, for friendship with you. And I just pray you'd help each of us just receive this stuff. Receive you in every way we can. Help us be people, teach us to be people who are welcoming to you. Thank you for examples in the Bible men's lives who were changed. Change us, take us, own us. We love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day.